you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Acts chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
Praise God.
All right. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 1st, 2022. Hi, Marianne.
Hi there, Mark.
Hey there, Holly. Holly's waving, and we have a couple volunteers walking around here. We appreciate their assistance and help. Yeah, the Prime Life Times publication came in last Thursday, and so that's being delivered out and about all over the area. And so hopefully you'll get your edition. And probably on Wednesday, we'll have a special guest in, a content contributor, to read their article, as we always love to do on Wednesdays. And it's a full week with the Ministry Leaders Network coming on Thursday. So if you're a pastor or ministry leader, contact me today if you're interested in being a part of our luncheon. It's always the first Thursday of every month from 12 to 1:15 sharp. So you get a great meal, a good speaker comes in, and then we share and discuss, and then by 1:15, you're out the door. We usually close in prayer around 1:13.
Really,
I mean,
do.
I really hold
you're
it.
You're very faithful to that.
Yeah, because so many people are busy, and even if we're having a very enjoyable discussion and such, it's still nice to know when there's a definitive ending time. So that'll happen this Thursday. And then Friday, Unity for Ukraine at Meadowbrook Church, 7 to 9 p.m. So we're looking forward to that event and how God will use it. But again, if you're a pastor or a ministry leader, like you're the executive director, we have the executive director of Jesus the Way Prison Ministry, the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, the executive director of like Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We send out a lot of invites to the various directors or people that are the senior pastor or significant pastor in a church. Feel more than happy to join us. Usually I find somebody to help underwrite the lunch. We appreciate some of the friends that have done that. And we usually have a good meal. I think we're going to have Hickory River Barbecue.
Well,
that's one of my favorites.
Can't go too wrong.
So, and then the speaker is Brad Lovin. He's the executive director of the Washington Street Mission in Springfield, Illinois. Great guy, and he's going to talk about leadership. I think it's everyday leadership, and he bases it out of John 4 or John chapter 5. I can't remember. So he loves to talk about leadership, and I interviewed him many months ago, and he might be next week's Testimony Tuesday guest. We'll see how
all
that
right.
all works out.
All right.
So let's see. Oh, and Testimony Tuesday. Speaking of Testimony Tuesdays, Champaign's new police chief, Chief Tyler, he'll be in to share his testimony and faith journey. And if you've been around me the last few days, after meeting up with him and talking to him and seeing his heart for the people of the greater Champaign area and just his passion for sharing Jesus and how he holds the bar really high on what we as Christians should be doing, going out in Jesus' name, sharing our faith. He is someone that I think God has raised up for our area, and I've been talking about him to others. I was very impressed with my first occasion to meet him, and so he'll be Testimony Tuesday. So put that on your calendar. You're going to want to tune in. And
it is a full week.
Hear what he has to say and share. Yes. So today being Monday.
Yes, it is.
Many times we have you a part of our prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early Reading. Other times I have other special guests from time to time, but today we're going to be diving into chapter 4, and we're at a point where we've been talking about praying for pastors, the importance of being prayed for, the importance of training people to pray for others, and how intercession is used of God. There were chapters, Pray for Me, Part 2, Recognize Your Need for Prayer. Those of us in leadership positions, I can probably speak for maybe many, if not all pastors, we covet, we appreciate, we desire, we need the prayer of those that we serve. And we as a radio ministry certainly want the listeners praying for us and praying for the decisions we make or the expansion opportunities we have and praying for all those that deliver and divide God's message. So we appreciate your prayers. And so this chapter 4 has been talking a lot about that. But what I like about what you're going to be reading, Marianne, it's the power of prayer partners. And you're going to take us back into the first century, into the 18th century, and then into the 21st century as kind of the headings of today's reading.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Oh, I was going to say something. When we prayed before the program, I usually, or many times when I say, Father God, work through the station, you said, I think you said Holy God or Holy Father.
And I said Holy Father, yeah.
So why did you use that terminology when thinking or appealing God on behalf of the ministry?
I use that designation every morning of my life when I pray before I start the day or Actually, I go get coffee first. I'm going to be really honest.
Sure,
Then I sit down and I pray.
And you think in terms of like Holy Father, that word holy, set apart. So in your mind's eye, when you referring to God and approaching him as Holy Father, I mean, obviously there's angels or the heavenly hosts, holy, holy, holy. That's one of those things I kidded with you. I want to practice saying holy, holy, holy. So when I get to heaven,
job,
I want to be doing it now. So if he says, hey, you're going to be one of those guys before my throne, you know, far off from throne, but somewhere in there saying holy, holy, holy. That's all you have to do, Mark.
I love
those three things. So I do. I'm very intentional. I think that a lot. If God's going to assign me that in heaven, I better be doing it here now and being proficient at it. So when you said holy, in your mind's eye, just this awesome, like describe what do you attach to that word holy when you think of God?
Well,
putting you on the spot here,
no,
I realize.
You know,
but
the word holy means set apart. Holy Spirit's the set apart spirit. But I think that Bible also says God is holy. He has other attributes. I mean, he is truth, he's life, he's love, he's, you know, many things. Holiness is a profound aspect of God and his character, and I just say Holy Father.
And do you think in terms of like Abba Father, like very approachable, or?
I think that God is certainly approachable without any question. I mean, I think that we also want to never forget. I think sometimes we act like God's our best buddy over here, you know.
And we want to maintain the reverence.
Absolutely. I mean, that is through the entire scriptures, old and new, Hebrew. Jesus, you know, raised his hands. You know, Father, I ask you. Never want to forget that the God we're serving lives in impenetrable light and is worthy of our great respect and honor. And so I don't sometimes like the way he was like, you know, yeah, God was here, you know, it's like,
yeah, the big guy upstairs,
you know,
yeah,
God came. I'm like, do you know who you're talking about? You know, and but at the other hand, absolutely, he's so personal, so personal to us, each one, and right here with us, sent his spirit to be with us.
And I ask you that because I think educational, informative, it's helpful for me too to hear how other people approach God. And it's like you're keeping that perfect balance. He's sovereign. He should be reverently feared is a good thing. I mean, because he's so holy and he's so awesome and he's so all-powerful. And yet the balance that also Jesus taught us, you know, Abba Father, like to approach him as a good daddy, which is hard for us to comprehend because he is so holy and to be revered way beyond how we revere him.
Yeah.
And yet on the other hand, he also is very approachable. And so it's keeping that balance. And then so when you said Holy Father, I thought, wow, you're kind of doing that holiness, knowing and recognizing he is so above and beyond us and awesome in the truest sense. He's the only one that can be awesome. Nothing is awesome. Only God is awesome.
Yeah.
And yet the Father part too, because even in your voice, your intonations, however you were saying it, there was that almost personal, soft recognition that he's also a good, great, accessible.
Definitely.
Anyway.
I don't know. I just like it just is almost second nature right now to just say, you know, Holy Father, I need to ask you this.
Amen. Well, you got a little insider's view of what goes on here before we pray up the program, as
we're having our before the program discussion here right on the air.
That's right. So, well, we've been excited about this book and how God uses prayer. He commands it, Jesus and all the apostles, everyone in the Bible. There were points where they sought after God or interceded on behalf of others and prayed for great things and prayed for maybe common things. And so thank you, God, that you are approachable, and let us never minimize how awesome and holy and set apart that you are, even though that you seemingly are so approachable and good. And so, okay, well, some things to think about as you maybe say the Lord's Prayer today, or just connect with him as you read through scriptures, and he gives you some impressions or insights into his greatness.
Yes, yes. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love it. All right. This is on page 59, The Power of Prayer Partners. And this first section is in the first century.
We don't have Rob here to ask him it was like then. But.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's not okay. Oh, it's funny. In the early years of Christianity, the ruler of Israel was King Herod. In hopes of pleasing the Jews, Herod had the apostle James killed. Seeing how greatly this pleased the Jews, he then had Peter arrested as well. Things looked bleak, but Luke gives us insight to what happened behind the scenes. So Peter was kept in prison, this is a quote, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him, Acts 12:4 and 5. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. History reveals that when the church gets earnest in her prayers, things happen. This is a little inset section here, Mark. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side. I love that. I love that scripture. We always think angels are going to appear like little babies going, hi, you know. Instead, he's like, wake up, and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals, and Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. Acts 12:6 through 11. The church prayed and things happened. You have to love the scene Peter's appearance must have created at the prayer meeting that night, verses 12 through 17, and the commotion it caused in the prison the next morning, verses 18 and 19. Soon afterward, Herod ended up being eaten by worms, verses 20 through 23. What a story. On top of that, the word of God spread and increased, verse 24. Wow. Intercessory prayer for a spiritual leader makes a difference.
You know, it's interesting. Last week I heard a message on this, and they were focusing on the gal that was at the gate.
Oh, Rhoda.
I heard his voice, but and then she runs in. They're like, no, you're just hearing his spirit or something. They're trying to explain it away. And she goes, no, really, I think he's out there. They said Peter probably kept knocking like, I'm out here.
This is my miracles here. Hello. So. That is so us, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be scared if you thought somebody was in prison and now they're at your door. I mean, even if you've been praying, that's terrible about us. Yeah. All right. Now, this next section, do we have time for it? In the 18th century, Jonathan Edwards, 1703 to 1758, was a great American pastor, theologian, and revivalist. His sermon titled, quote, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, is considered by many to be the catalyst of the Great Awakening. Apart from his theological and ministerial influences, Edwards also left a great legacy through his family. Many of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards' descendants became prominent citizens in the United States, including Vice President Aaron Burr and three Christian college presidents. Edwards experienced and analyzed the nature of spiritual impact as few men have ever done. In speaking of the nature of revivals, he touted the necessity of prayer for spiritual leaders. And here's this quote. If some of the Christians that have been complaining of their ministers had applied themselves with all of their might to cry out to God for their ministers, had, as it were, risen and stormed heaven with their humble, fervent, incessant prayers for them, they would have been much more in the way of success.
Wow.
If it be, as you have heard, the proper excellency of a minister of the gospel to be a burning and a shining light, then it's your duty, earnestly, to pray for your minister, that he may be filled with divine light and with the power of the Holy Ghost to make him so. For herein you will but pray for the greatest benefit to yourselves. For if your minister burns and shines, it will be for your light and life. All right, we have the next section in the 21st century. We're moving ahead here. John Maxwell, born 1947, had an effective ministry when he served as pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church in San Diego, California. Incredible church growth occurred when lay involvement in ministry increased from 112 to 1,800 people. He attributes the success in part to two factors. First, God gave him a prayer partner. He writes, I grew up in a Christian home where prayer was important, and as a pastor, I spent time in prayer every day. But it wasn't until God brought me a prayer partner that my life and ministry exploded with power, and the results began to multiply in an incredible way. Maxwell proceeds to tell how Bill Klassen, a gentleman about 60 years of age, sought him out to become his personal prayer partner and accountability partner. During his years at Skyline, Klassen's prayers made a difference. The second factor in Maxwell's success was the prayer partner ministry he and Klassen organized at their church. The prayer partners were a group of people who, one, prayed for John daily, and two, met in small groups in a tiny room at church every Sunday to cover the services with prayer. It began with 31 men and grew to include 120. Max Licato, is it Licato or Licato?
The first way you said it.
Max Licato,
yeah.
Born in 1955. The noted Christian author is the longtime pastor of Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas. Following Maxwell's example, he recruited 120 people who formed a prayer team. They covenanted to pray for him daily and pray with him fervently. Also, each Sunday, one-fourth of them would arrive at church early and pray for the congregation. After just 6 months, Licato enthusiastically assessed the results of the prayer partner's ministry, and here they are. Has God honored the prayers of his people? Here's a sample of what God has done since we organized the prayer partners. We have broken our Sunday attendance record twice. We have finished the year with our highest ever Sunday attendance. We have finished the year, hang on to your hat, over budget. We have added 3 new staff members and 6 elders. We witnessed several significant healings. Our church antagonism is down, and church unity is high. More significantly, we called our church to 40 days of prayer and fasting, inviting God to shine his face on his people. More than ever, I'm convinced, when we work, but when we pray, God works.
Yeah, that's a famous quote.
Yeah,
when we
it
work,
is.
We work, but when we pray, God works.
Yeah, it's powerful, actually.
Yeah, and we've talked about this since we started in this chapter, the importance of people praying for their pastor and those in ministry leadership positions. But we also, and I covet the prayers that people pray on behalf of this radio ministry, and looking back these 27 plus years, how it really was the individuals, even before we went on the air, that were praying that God would bring a Christian radio ministry to this area. And then Dr. Bruce Dunn, who was a prayer warrior, who was always praying, Lord, raise up the cash, the cold, hard cash to help this dream come alive, and other things that he would pray. And just the many people, we get the feedback. You and I read that many times on Wednesdays of people saying, I'm praying for the ministry.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
I just have to think how many times God has responded to their prayers by giving us ideas or concepts, or things just fall into place and we go, wow, God, how did that happen? But it's probably because of the faithful listeners and those that pray. And so,
oh, it is. Mm. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm convinced that every leader of every kind needs this kind of prayer support that John Maxwell's and that they're talking about, because, and Max Licato, because if you think about it, we just take it for granted, like the Sunday school teacher. What, does anybody, do they have like a prayer partner group that surrounds them, covers them, help them as they teach that little fifth grade class? I wonder what would happen.
Well, and I was thinking as you were reading, the healthy, good conviction that I was experiencing, how often am I praying for the pastors that declare God's word when I'm there on Sunday? And if you're going to gripe about your pastor, I'm just going to be candid with the listener today. If you're going to gripe or you say this or that about the pastor, how many weeks, how many months have you been praying for them to deliver God's message, to be inspired, to have points of contact with God during and throughout the week so that they'll be empowered and fired up on Sunday? I mean,
yeah, it's kind of amazing how much that we have this very off-track, strange notion that by complaining and gossiping and worrying amongst ourselves about anything and about a pastor or whatever is going to change anything. It doesn't. It just adds to the problem.
Yeah.
Whereas praying in groups, praying powerfully, that then God gets on it.
Yeah, and that's usually when God's power is unleashed.
Oh, it's
through those behind the scenes, closed doors, appealing, that intercessing, you know, wrestling with God over things. God, break that person's heart, or encourage that person through the study of your scripture to deliver your message.
Yeah. And, well, Jesus prayed a lot, you know.
Yeah.
He did. Before the feeding of the 5,000, everything. Lifted up his hands and prayed.
Before he chose the 12.
Yeah, that was serious. Yeah, that was important.
Side, woke up early while it was still dark and prayed.
Whew,
Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We recommend prayer, as does God. It's all throughout
like
the scripture.
We recommend prayer. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so we practice it and we can all get better at it. But getting better at it means that you get to bond closer with God and see his revealed will played out through your prayers or through answered prayer or through just your passion of getting to know the great God that he is. So we encourage prayer. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.